This hour of the Jason Rand Show brought to you by MMComfortSystems.com. Lots of news happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending in the classroom?
Garfield High School out of Seattle canceled pretty much everything today. Pretty much everything. In this case, because too many staff members are calling out sick and they're not able to keep up. That's what school officials said per Como TV. I do think it's worth wondering if the staff members who are calling in sick at one of the most woke and politically active schools in Seattle, it's worth wondering whether or not the staff members are being honest. I say that not because I inherently think people who call in sick are lying, although I inherently think people who call in sick are lying. That's not why I'm holding that position here, or at least wondering out loud. It's because quite literally a few days ago, on Friday, in fact, teachers bragged about lying, calling in sick, lying about an illness so that they can make a political point that the schools need to be closed. In this case, though, they didn't even go to remote learning. Everything was canceled except for a girls and boys basketball game against Rainier Beach tonight at SPU. That's it. That'll still go on because that's really what matters.
That's a top tier matchup, Jason.
Yes. Okay. Oh, my gosh. I mean, Garfield versus Rainier.
That's history.
At a third rate school. You know,
That gym will be packed. There's a reason they play that game at SPU and not at Garfield or Rainier Beach.
It'll be packed. It'll become a super spreader event, and then they'll use that to justify closing school for the rest of the week.
But the sports will still be played.
Except the sports, because that's what matters. But everything else, no remote classes, no transportation, no sports other than that one game. Huh. So yet again, these students are failing. Now look, are being failed. I certainly concede that with the spread of Omicron, that people are going to get sick and they'll be symptomatic. And if you're symptomatic, you shouldn't be going to work unless, of course, you work in healthcare. Then you're forced to go into the office again and see patients because they ended up firing a whole bunch of people who were unvaccinated, even though they didn't have COVID at the time and maybe still don't even have COVID. And yet they could have come in handy and actually helped out with the staffing situation right now. But okay, we'll push that aside because then I'll get into a separate conversation. I certainly concede this, but I just wonder whether or not people are being honest because the teachers have given us reason to be distrustful of them. And now we get to be lectured by the former president of Planned Parenthood, who was responsible for helping to take away the lives of innocent children, go out on CNN and kind of lecture us about how we're failing kids. Here's Dr. Leanna Wen.
We have failed our children. Throughout this entire pandemic, we have not prioritized our kids, and now we're seeing the effect. We're seeing the mental health impact, as you mentioned, but we're also seeing the impact on nutrition and physical activity. These studies are also showing that school lockdowns have an impact on increasing childhood obesity, which also has implications for diabetes and heart disease for these kids growing up later on in life as well. So I think at this point, we really have to take school closures off the table as a policy response. Schools need to be the last to close, the first to open. And as long as we have bars and restaurants and other venues open, we should not be discussing at all school closures because of the other impacts on children.
I agree. It's too bad that quite literally every voice on CNN up until recently has said literally the opposite. Y'all were all about closing the schools. All about closing schools. But now suddenly the people who told us to close the schools are now saying, oh, we're failing kids if we close the school. You failed kids. I mean, she failed kids when she was head of Planned Parenthood. But that, again, separate subject. I can't get over the fact, just as an aside, that she's the one lecturing us about standing up for kids. I mean, the ones that you're not aborting. Just throwing that. Come on. That's a little bit, regardless, by the way, of your position on abortion, that's a little bit too much.
Slightly ironic, yes.
It's a little bit too much for me. It's too much. She was on the network and is on the network that continued to push for this over and over and over again. She's still on the network that is pushing a whole bunch of crazy stuff. Still in response to Omicron. The people on this network, and I kind of feel like it might have been her as well, but don't quote me. We'll find that out. Saying that we shouldn't even be giving care, health care, to people who are unvaccinated. we should be making their lives as difficult as humanly possible, because the unvaccinated, they're getting COVID and spreading COVID. Yes, also the vaccinated are getting COVID and spreading COVID, but those are the people that we support. We like them because they did what we told them to do. Again, ironically, we told them to get the vaccine so they wouldn't get and spread COVID, and it turns out we were totally wrong, but we're going to pretend that we weren't, and we're going to continue to push the vaccine despite the fact that Omicron evades it. But other than that, you should listen to her this time, of course. The revisionist history is amazing. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending at home?
So Democrats here in Washington are trying yet again to pass another assault weapons ban. Assault weapons simply mean guns that are scary. That's really what they mean. The bill right now is being considered in the Senate in a committee, and probably will get a hearing or a vote out of the committee at some point this week. 5217. And it classifies as a whole bunch of guns as assault weapons, which bans their possession, their manufacture, their transfer. These are guns that are some of the most popular, most widely used in Washington state and around the country. They're used for self-defense. They're used for recreational shooting, hunting. But they've got some cosmetic features on them. It has a scope. Oh my gosh. So they're evil. They're evil, and we must set them free. They must be banned. Now, there's a separate bill that bans the manufacture, possession, distribution, and sale of so-called large-capacity magazines, ones that have more than 17 rounds of ammunition. That one is awaiting action in the Senate. We'll see where that goes. They'll both get voted on. I just don't know whether or not they have the support. In the past, they haven't, including amongst Democrats. Because there are some Democrats within the Washington State Legislature that represent areas that have a better understanding of guns than some Seattle progressive would. Now, of course, as is normally the situation, they had a public hearing. 10,000 people signed up to speak. They didn't all speak, of course. But both sides had an opportunity to weigh in. Here's some of what the smarter side was saying.
The firearms listed in this bill are ones that are owned by single women, moms, and tribal women who use firearms to protect.
There are 7 states and D.C. have this bill, but still have mass shootings.
Our citizens have the right and the need to be able to choose a semi-automatic rifle as their primary means of self-defense.
Primary means of self-defense. It doesn't matter because in other states they've done this too. And push all that aside. We can get into the weeds about specifics of the law. We can argue from an emotional standpoint. We can sway people either way based on those arguments. Sometimes, other times not. It's just kind of a bit of a mess, I believe. Because I think we can narrow this down to a very simple focus. One that, at least in part, Senator Linda Wilson, Republican, because she's making sense here, that she made earlier today.
I've heard from gun dealers or FFLs that criminals, many times already a felon, will brazenly go into their stores and steal firearms. They get a slap on the wrist and the crime is pleaded down or dismissed or not charged at all. We have focused our attention most recently on the good citizens that own those guns rather than where we focus. The focus should be is on the criminal. Let's increase the risk and the consequences of stealing that gun for that criminal.
Okay. She's basically arguing something that makes total and complete sense, which is why the Democrats want us to stay completely away from this. They are telling us that they want to go after gun violence. Who is using the guns and what guns are they using to commit these acts of violence? It's not law-abiding citizens, and it's not individuals who are using AR-15s. I know they want to pretend that there's a school shooting or a mass shooting every single day. We know, obviously, that that's not true, that it's incredibly rare. It doesn't mean it doesn't happen. It does. It doesn't mean it's not tragic. It is. However, the people who are using the guns and leading to all of the violence that we're seeing is almost exclusively gang members. They're usually using handguns. Regardless, they're not purchasing the guns legally. This is only meant to go after law-abiding citizens. I'll be in Fox News at night tonight in the 9 o'clock hour, and then Varney and Company tomorrow at 7:45. If you're not able to watch it, that's okay. You can check it out at youtube.com/JasonRants. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? National.
We are constantly being lied to as it relates to the so-called voting rights bill, which is not a bill about voting rights. It's a bill that takes away voting rights. How so? It's a bill that takes away the power of the states to manage their own elections and gives it to the federal government so that a group of Democrats could decide how votes should be cast, who should be allowed to vote. Despite polling overwhelmingly showing support for voter ID laws, for example, this bill would get rid of them. And so this idea, and we played the audio yesterday in the 5 o'clock hour. If you missed it, it's on the podcast. You can hear Sheila Jackson Lee complaining that, oh my gosh, it's not fair that you would have to have someone put in their social security or their license ID number in order for them to register to vote because, well, numbers are hard. They're confusing. No, they're not. No, they're not. But without a system in place that actually vets the people who are registering, well, I could register in Peyton's name, have the ballot get sent to me, and not think anything. He won't think anything of it because he's looking at me. You're lazy. You're not going to vote unless I hound you to death. He knows it. We all know some of those people in our lives. This would make that very, very easy to do. It would make it very, very easy for someone who's in this country illegally to vote, which is we know the end goal for the Democrats. Some of them are just actively talking about it. Look at the laws in New York or the changes that are being proposed in New York City. That's the end goal. Now, I don't believe that there is massive fraud to the level that changes most elections. Could there be fraud that changes some elections? Yeah. Unlikely to be a national election, but certainly on a local level, we've seen races that have been won by just a few dozen votes, maybe even sometimes a handful of votes. Could fraud, if it occurs there, change an election? Absolutely. Is there proof of some sort of widespread fraud? No, there isn't at all. The folks who think they've uncovered something don't know what they're talking about because the evidence doesn't back it up. It backs up their beliefs, but it doesn't back up what happened. Now, I still believe we should be vigilant. I still believe that we should regularly audit. I still believe that we should regularly control some of the policies and make sure that rules don't just get changed on a whim, which is what Democrats want to do. In fact, they did that during the COVID lockdowns. They pretended that you couldn't wait in a line to vote, even if it was for a couple minutes because it's unsafe. So not going through the process the right way, they declared, yeah, we're just going to change things because they thought it gave them a leg up, and it did. They were successful in that. I view that as a form of fraud, not quite the same as when people say there is election fraud going on, but I think that that was a fraudulent way to try to get more Democrat votes to cast their ballots. And now that Republicans have passed laws to curtail all of that nonsense that occurred, bring us back to where we were, where we had election systems that were properly vetted instead of just passed overnight and then put into place, Democrats are scared. Democrats are scared, and they have reason to be scared. I think they think if they don't widen the scope of how people vote, they have an even harder time winning in the midterms because, hey, guess what? Their popularity is in the tank. No one likes Biden. He has the lowest national popularity rating, I should say, from the White House in this country's history, according to MSNBC of all places. And so Democrats are trying to pass their bill, their Voting Laws Act. And they're using the exact same talking point over and over and over again. It doesn't matter if it is a senator, a congressperson, an attorney general, or just your everyday activist. They're using the exact same language. It is disturbing. It is absolutely disturbing. Katie Hobbs is the Secretary of State for the state of Arizona. Arizona is kind of a swing state-ish. It leans to the right, not necessarily. Obviously, right now, they've got support of, say, Kristen Sinema, who the left hates because she's a moderate Democrat. But Katie Hobbs is a Democrat. She's pretty hardcore. She was on CNN and she said this in defense of this voting rights bill.
We are at a defining moment in our democracy. And if we don't have voting rights, I don't know that we have a democracy. And so
just real quick, again, Democracy is on the line. You're going to hear that over and over and over again. We will lose our democracy. We'll never have a free election again unless you pass this legislation that up until this point didn't exist. So are all the past elections, including the one that got Katie Hobbs elected, are all of those fraudulent? How was it that democracy existed for so long here for our country's history since its founding? How did it last when this law was just created out of the blue within the last year?
Be clear that every member of the Senate needs to take every action they can to make sure that these two really critical bills pass, including our senators here in Arizona. But we can't let the Republicans off the hook. In 2006, the reauthorization of the Voting Rights Act was passed unanimously. Mm-hmm. And it is astounding to me that we're at this place where it is now a partisan issue when it is really the core of our democracy we're talking about.
Okay, you've made it a partisan issue. You and the other Democrats who want to pretend that if we don't give the Democrats their way, pretend that all we're talking about here is reauthorizing something that's been in existence for a while, you are lying and you are a big part of the problem. You are a huge part of the problem. She wants to take over. She wants national takeover of our elections. What do we have you for then, Secretary of State? What do you need to be there, Katie Hobbs? Your job apparently is unnecessary. Why don't you step down now and give it to someone who believes that locals should have control of the election? But apparently, yet again, democracy is at stake.
Democracy is on the ballot in 2022, whether it's folks like myself who have stood up for the integrity of our elections and defended the...
Yeah, democracy's on the line. Except, of course, if you vote for me, I'm a protector. I protect. They take away, but I protect our democracy. I'm kind of like an Avenger. I'm like Captain America. Almost. Don't have superpowers except the ability to spin.
Processes that we conducted according to the letter of the law and the most secure election in our state's history versus these folks who have said with no basis in reality that it was flawed and there was fraud and continue to spread this lie. And that is alarming for many reasons. Arizona has emerged as an important battleground state that can have an important role in determining future presidential elections. And that's exactly what they're looking to try to do by getting folks in key decision-making positions across the country.
To give them total control, you mean? I mean, that's really what she means. She's saying the only way that we can save democracy is if you vote for the person I tell you to vote for in positions of power so that they can hold on to that power for as long as possible and change our systems. That's effectively what she is telling you. Now, she won't admit it. She won't talk about it in that way. She won't be that blunt. But that's what she's saying. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text and join the conversation. 1-800-465-8770. Welcome back to the Jason Rantz Show. If you're not able to see my appearance today on News Nation Now, you can check out my YouTube page, youtube.com/Jason Rantz. I'm on with the Donlan Report today. Talk about my Seattle PD story from yesterday about the change in policy, disallowing many traffic stops. The reason behind it is absurd. But it's one of many local and exclusive stories getting attention, just like this next one, which if you follow me on Twitter, if you spend some time over at ktth.com regularly, you would have seen this drop last night, where yesterday obviously was MLK Junior Day. Lots of you who have students, certainly of, you know, a certain age under 18 or 18 and under, or in high school, elementary, middle, whatever it is, they had the day off. Now, it's supposed to be a reflection on the icon, the civil rights leader in Martin Luther King Jr. And it should come as no shock to you that some schools allowed voices to be amplified, to be pushed out in compulsory meetings or video assemblies to go after cops, to go after this country in some really vicious ways. You would think that on MLK Day, or any events around MLK Day, particularly with kids, we could focus on the positive. We can focus on the dream. But the dream has changed. the dream has changed, or at least from the progressives, they have adopted a new dream. It used to be that we would be in a position to support people, honor people, treat people with respect, and not judge them on the basis of their skin color. It used to be going away from racial identity politics, only seeing race, to seeing someone's character, who they are, how they treat people, whether or not they do good. That's what you're supposed to judge people on. But progressives right now, in 2022, and obviously for the last several years, they've been hyper-focused on treating people differently on the basis of skin color, where if you are white, you are seen as an oppressor. If you are not, you are seen as oppressed across the board, regardless of any context. That's how you're supposed to be judging people. It is disgusting. It's divisive. It's not a country that we should want to foster that belief in, because this country ceases to be the country that we all love, with its flaws that do need to be fixed. But the country that we love ceases to exist when we choose to see everyone as a representation of this general view about race or religion, whatever it happens to be. And so I can't say I'm shocked that in North Thurston, specifically at North Thurston High School, you had every single student watching a video that was done on Friday, because yesterday everyone was off, that was supposed to be about honoring MLK Jr. But instead, the last several minutes of this video were spent amplifying a message in a poem from a student poet from the BLM group there, or the BSA, the Black Student Alliance, but they were all wearing Black Lives Matter North Thurston High School BSU shirts. A poem that said the country doesn't want Black Americans. The poem said that Black boys and girls are offered a one-way trip to prison, and that the mighty USA uses cops to murder the innocent. It is a despicable message, one that the principal didn't even screen before having it get presented to students. Now, one could say a screening would not have mattered, that this is a district in the North Thurston School District, where it doesn't really matter whether or not a screening took place, because they've leaned into the wokeness. And that is certainly true. And the more I hear from parents, not just at this school, North Thurston High School, but across the district, they're saying just that, that they have gone all in, the staff, all in promoting the divisive nature of how critical race theorists view the world. Now, the video itself started off simple enough. There was a speech that was given by an administrator statewide. There was a focus on who MLK was. There was an inspirational message about how to deal with feelings like you don't belong somewhere. How do you deal with that? How do you overcome that? There was nothing inherently controversial about any of it. It's pretty by the books. But then the last 6 minutes of this presentation, it was about 23 minutes or so, it took a remarkably different tone. And it features those student voices from the Black Student Union in their BLM shirts. Now, first, they read aloud Lift Every Voice and Sing. That's often referred to as the Black National Anthem. But then a student shared a poem that viciously smeared cops and this country.
My name is Emmanuel Darty. I'm a founding member of the BSU, and I'm presenting to you all a poem that I've written. The poem is called Message to the Flag. America, the land of political conglomerates fighting to assert their dominance amongst the populace. We're in the struggle to find a state of opulence, but I'm convinced nothing will change as long as there are people fighting for Confederate monuments.
Okay, so right there, people are not fighting for Confederate monuments in the sense that he's claiming. People are fighting for an ability to not erase history and not take down things, including art, because you disagree with a message. That is a cornerstone of the First Amendment, one that a poet should understand.
As long as there are people out there continuing to capitalize on Black lives.
Like Nike, like the BLM movement, whose membership made a lot of money off of people like you subscribing to their insane beliefs.
As long as there are people who really believe that our votes aren't denied.
Your votes aren't denied. I don't know how old this kid is yet, so if he's under 18, his vote has been denied, rightly so. but their black voters are not being denied, nor are white voters or Asian voters or Latino voters. Voter ID laws, although the Democrats want to pretend, only impact somehow negatively the black community while simultaneously asking for vaccine passports for everyone. That is a false talking point.
As long as the country treats us like it don't want us, but stop us from leaving.
I don't know what that means. Stops you from leaving what? If you want to leave this country because you hate it so much, feel free to leave this country. I'd prefer you not. I'd prefer you live here. I'd prefer you be a member of our community that contributes in a positive way. I don't know anyone who's saying we have to push out. We don't want black people, but we won't let them leave. That is a nonsensical perspective.
Let me slow down, y'all. Let me start with our flag.
Okay.
Does anyone know what the colors mean?
Yes.
Red symbolizes the blood that we shed. The blood of our ancestors. The blood of our grandfathers. The blood of our parents. The blood of our children. The blood we shed building a country that sees us as less than human.
I don't see you as less than human. I see you as someone who is angry, who has been indoctrinated. I don't see you less as human. No one sees you less as human. Most people who might be disturbed by your views expressed in this poem see you as a human and want to help you out because they see you as a human. This whole idea of dehumanizing he's about to do to police officers who he pretends are out there trying to just murder random black individuals, which of course is baseless and a disgusting smear.
The blood we shed for a country that can't tell the difference between a Davion and a Michael. The blood for a system that puts us behind bars for profit. White. It stands for the purity of our culture that is stripped of us and disrespected as a TikTok trend. The purity of little black boys and girls who are victim to a one-way ticket to prison.
There's no one-way ticket to prison unless you break laws. Now, you can argue systemic racism all you want, but if someone commits an act of violence that would otherwise land someone in jail, the color of your skin should not matter. Now, if you're arguing about a lack of resources provided towards certain black communities or neighborhoods, okay, you can have that conversation. I think a lot of this has to do, especially when we're talking about kids who are breaking the law, black, white, Latino, Asian, whatever, they have a tendency to come from broken families, something that is not addressed, of course, in this poem.
The purity of our minds who we are as a people being broken down and walked on like a concrete sidewalk. Blue. The symbol of justice, the heroes, defenders of what's right and wrong during the day and night, but struggle to refrain from taking innocent life.
Cops don't struggle from taking innocent life, from refraining from taking innocent life. Cops don't struggle with that. Cops never want to have to use their firearms. Never. They would prefer to never have to take it out and point it at anyone and fire it at anyone, including people who very clearly need to be shot in order to stop them from committing whatever violent act that they're committing. Because even when it is a shooting, a death that occurs, that is as justified as can be, where anyone would justify it, reasonable or unreasonable people would justify it, the officer still has to live with the fact that they just took someone's life, even though it was the right thing to do. They don't want to have to go through that emotionally. And if you disagree with that, if you think that that's crazy, you should talk to some officers. I mean, put down your notion that they're going to try to murder you when you talk to them, because that might not be a very productive conversation, but talk to some officers about this.
The judge, jury, and executioner in every trial is a biased ruling. You're guilty and sentenced for life, committing the worst crime of black heritage.
So people he's arguing who are put to, sentenced to life, if he's speaking literally there, their crimes are being black because of biased rulings. Now, I certainly don't believe that. He might believe it. He doesn't have any evidence to back that up. Most people who make those kinds of claims don't.
They choke you up and beat you down, thinking if they can't wipe the color from your skin, they'll watch it go out in your eyes. And just like that, you're another black body disenfranchised by the system that claims to see everyone as equal in its eyes. That's a lie. Lies more poisonous than the tear gas that they attack us with. Oh. Tired of seeing police chiefs come to stand and read apologies like an actor reads a line off a page. Tired of seeing young people stripped of their color, stripped of their pride, stripped of their voice, stripped of their life. Another body shot. Another body drop. Another heart stopped. They find you with your life only to find out the ticket wasn't even meant for you.
And it continues for another 90 seconds. Now, you can watch this video in full over at ktth.com. You can text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770. Parents would have had no clue that this was being shown to their kid had it not been due to remote learning, where several parents saw this video and it started to get passed around. Some mothers, some fathers were complaining. One mom complained to the principal. And in this exchange that she had with him, we found out that the principal didn't even see the video before it was aired. And the mom, who is Latina, called this out. She called this out because she said in her years on this earth, she's never seen the kind of hate and bias that this kid claims exists in this country. And she thought it sends the wrong message. She's right. It does send the wrong message. But it is a political message that the school is getting behind. That's why they allowed this. This was not appropriate for the classroom. Certainly not if it's going to be the only message that is put out there. No balance whatsoever. You go to the political group, the BSU, and they have every right to be political. I frankly don't care what political beliefs they hold. I don't even mind that this video was a part of a bigger video if there was at least some balance, but there's none. The reason why there's none is they don't want students to hear the other side. And that's why indoctrination has been so successful for a lot of these kids in changing their views, changing their worldviews, changing their minds on things that they have no clue what it is they're talking about. I don't care that this student poet had passion behind his voice and spoke with conviction. It doesn't mean what he said was true. One's opinion can be based on a false narrative, and that's what's driving a lot of the messages within the BLM movement. This was a radical and offensive poem that was put on display, amplified by the school, put in front of every single student. It was compulsory. They couldn't sit this one out. It's offensive, it's wrong, and I'm glad people are calling it out. I hope you will too. Text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770, and I'll send you a link. Welcome back to the Jason Rantz Show. There was a column in Mediaite yesterday that took issue with some claims made by President Trump, who held a rally in Arizona over the weekend. And this column was filled with really disingenuous hot takes. So I thought we would spend just a few minutes going through it. Not because she's attacking Donald Trump. You can go ahead and attack him if you want. He's an adult. He's a politician. He should expect it and he could deal with it. But when you're going to attack someone with just disingenuous arguments, I'm going to call it out because it is pretending what's happening isn't actually happening. Now, this columnist's name is Leah Idlibi, who the name strikes me as familiar. I think she wrote a hit piece about one of my appearances on Fox News once, but I promise that has nothing to do with me criticizing her here. So Donald Trump, over the weekend, talked about the New York rules around COVID treatment and COVID vaccination. And Leah says that Trump's position relies on a misunderstanding of New York rules. But let's hear it.
The left is now rationing life-saving therapeutics based on race, discriminating against and denigrating, just denigrating white people to determine who lives and who dies. If you're white, you don't get the vaccine, or if you're white, you don't get therapeutics. It's unbelievable to think this.
Now, if you just listen to that, you would say, okay, he's speaking hyperbolically, right? There's some exaggerations here. Obviously, white people can get and have access to the vaccine. To say otherwise is not just wrong, but would be insane. But see, that's not actually what he was saying. In fact, he said this as well.
You get it based on race. In fact, in New York State, if you're white, you have to go to the back of the line to get medical help. Think of it. If you're white, you go right to the back of the line.
Now, apparently that is misleading. It's wrong, and it's a misinformation, she says. She says New York's guidelines are not race-based. Instead, based on risk factors as eligibility to receive oral treatments are authorized for patients who meet certain criteria. So what's the criteria? Well, it's race-based. She admits it. She admits that according to the rules, New York says being non-white is a risk factor. And thus, I would argue, of course, then it makes it race-based. She writes, the guidelines based on data from the CDC state that race and ethnicity qualify as risk markers for underlying health conditions, largely because certain demographics have had historically limited access to health care and are currently more exposed to the virus due to their occupations. Okay, so all she said there was that, number one, folks in certain communities historically had limited access to health care, not that they currently have limited access to health care. The rules do not apply solely to, for example, someone who is older and in the Black community. It would apply to everyone who is Black or Latino or, I suppose, Asian or Native American. So someone who is 19 years old, according to the rules, would get extra points because of their skin color. They wouldn't have to show that they even have an underlying health condition as a result of historically losing access to health care. Meaning, if someone who was, in fact, old enough to live in this country in which he or she had limited access to health care as a basis on the basis of their race, and as a result, they developed diabetes, which is one of the risk factors for COVID. Well, that person has X amount of risk for having diabetes, not because he or she is Black. The same way that someone who is the exact same age, the same height and weight, the same gender, plus having diabetes, that person is no more or less susceptible to COVID. They're exactly the same, and they should be treated the same. It should be based on who comes first. When all is equal, who comes first is the one who should actually get the treatment. And we shouldn't be looking at someone's race. And even though she says the rules aren't race-based, she writes parts of the actual policy that say things like, quote, consider race and ethnicity when assessing an individual's risk. And then, of course, it goes into all the woke speak. Impacts of longstanding systemic health and social inequities put Black, Indigenous, and people of color, BIPOC, at increased risk of severe COVID outcomes and death. No. Systemic racism is not causing people to die. Lack of treatment options could cause someone to die. And a lack of treatment option to a Black person versus a white person, Latino versus Asian, anyone, humans, will impact that person the exact same way. Trump was right to call this out. We had policies here in Washington that quite literally put white people to the back of the virtual queue in order to get a vaccine. They were prioritizing so-called people of color. If you were white, you would be put at the back of the line, and if they had left over, they would give you that vaccine. That was a literal instance here. We talked about it. So it is race-based, and it is wrong. And this is the Jason Rand Show.